For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to the Deep Drive Podcast, episode 54. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. No Jackson today, just two-man show. We're going to go over our top 10 right fielders. We've got Jack's list, we don't have Jackson's. So let's get into this. This is our last position list. I'll just read off Jack's list to get us started so that we just get that out of the way. So at number 10, he has Max Kepler. At number 9, he has Teoscar Hernandez. At 8, he has Michael Conforto. 7, Brandon Nimmo. 6, Mookie Betts. 5, Kyle Tucker. 4, Bryce Harper. 3, Aaron Judge. 2, Ronald Acuna Jr. And at number 1, obviously, he has Juan Soto. So now me and Ryan can go over ours. I guess I'll start. Coming in at number 10, I have Mitch Haniger of the Seattle Mariners.
At number 10, I have Teoscar Hernandez of the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right. At number 9, I have Teoscar Hernandez of the Toronto Blue Jays.
At number 9, I have Michael Conforto.
At number 8, I have Michael Conforto of the Chicago Cubs.
At number 8, I have Seiya Suzuki of the God knows who. Maybe the Giants or Red Sox or Mariners?
All right. At number 7, I have Brandon Nimmo of the New York Mets, who is not a right fielder, by the way. Just to put that one out there, we're going to blame Jack for that, for having him on his right field list, but Brandon Nimmo is a left fielder. So that all the fucking Mets fans who get mad at all these lists, namely Patrick Quinn, can suck it up. All right. Coming in at number 6, I have Kyle Tucker of the Houston Astros.
Same player, same spot.
And then I have Bryce Harper at 5.
Same player, same spot.
I have Aaron Judge at 4.
I have Mookie Betts at 4.
I have Mookie Betts at 3.
Judge at 3.
I have Acuna at 2.
Acuna 2, and obviously number 1.
Juan Soto. So, perfect. We've got this. I guess I'll just read off our cumulative list so we can just get this out of the way. And then we can talk about our lists, see what's going on, and then talk about anything else that we want to. Coming at number 10, we have Seiya Suzuki of the Japanese Baseball League. Coming in at number 9, we have Teoscar Hernandez. At 8, Michael Conforto. 7, Brandon Nimmo. 6, Tucker. 5, Harper. 4, Betts. 3, Judge. 2, Acuna. 1, Soto. So, any major disagreements? Not really. Like, you have Suzuki here. I just don't like to put guys who have never played an MLB game on my MLB list, which is something that Jackson agrees with and Jack does not. So we're split 2-2 here. I don't know if Jackson
agrees with that because he Adley top 10, I believe.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Nope, he did not.
You sure?
Yeah, he was the only one who didn't. I had Adley 6th, but I got bullied into doing that, and I will not be doing that again.
I will say, though, like, we know he's playing next year and he's going to be starting. But I think he's a little different than a prospect. A little different. I think Stan's a little bit different than a prospect.
I feel like we don't know that Suzuki's going to be playing. Like, we thought Sagano would be in the MLB last year and then he went back to Japan. I think it's still super possible that Suzuki doesn't get the contract he wants or just doesn't feel like moving across the world to play
a sport. I mean, he really wants to play Major League Baseball. And also on top of that, Sugano's a reliever, right? No, like on all the quotes.
Sugano's a starter, and Sugano?
Yeah, because age definitely matters.
Tomoyuki Sugano. I think he's born in 89, so he's what, 31?
Yeah.
32?
So
that's not good math. He's 32.
Also, the difference is he's not a generational, like, say he's considered the best hitter since Hideki Matsui. Like, I'm not going to compare it to Shohei Ohtani, because Shohei Ohtani's like, you know, like,
Shohei Ohtani wasn't regarded like Suzuki was when he was coming out of Japan. Like,
because he was a two-way player. Like,
But Ohtani got the hype here, a lot of it. And also, he was way younger. Like, Ohtani was a prospect. He was like 23. Yeah. Whereas Suzuki's a 27-year-old established guy who's had an 1,000 plus OPS in the MPB, which is a really hard league to hit in.
For years.
And Sugano is not a reliever. He was actually projected last year to be, by a lot of people, the second best starting pitcher on the market after Bauer. A lot of people thought, because last year, remember that narrative where you guys, especially Jack, was saying that James Paxton would be better than Trevor Bauer.
I wanted to say first, like, there was an era in which the way I used to rank players was just, hey, here's your 2018 to 2020 Sierra. Like, it doesn't matter if a player's made an adjustment or if they've changed anything. Here's their raw 2018. It doesn't matter the context or nothing. And that might be one of the worst phases I've ever had as an individual in my life. And that couldn't be more evident with Trevor Bauer. Or, like, just valuing volume. That's another thing. Volume matters, folks.
Well, because, like, Trevor Bauer, I mean, obviously, shitty person. But when you get out of the way. James Jackson. I don't know if he's going to play next year. I think he probably will. It's looking like he probably will. But, I mean, we'll have to see. Maybe he won't be on the Dodgers. This is a whole different scenario, which I don't really want to get into. But I think the point is, like, Sugano coming out of Japan was regarded as someone who he wanted a 5-year, $100 million deal. He didn't get it, but I think he got close. And
it was also like a weird year. Like, no one wanted to spend that year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the year before a new CBA, so that's always weird because teams don't know what they're doing, really. They don't know what the league is going to look like in a year. They don't know what's going to change.
Fair, but I just, like, Suzuki isn't demanding $100 million, from what I understand. His contract demands are pretty, like, tame. I think it's sub $20 million AAV, from what I understand.
But I feel like he might get $100 million
because exactly. So, like, I think he's gonna get what he wants money wise. It's just a matter of, like, if we have a season. If we don't have a season, he won't.
Well, obviously, but it's looking more and more like that we're gonna have a season. Whether it's probably gonna be shortened, but it's looking like there's gonna be a season. So we'll have to see. Suzuki's what, 27? Last year in the NPB, he had he hit 317, 433, 636 with a 1069 OPS. He hit 38 homers and 538 plate appearances. I mean, like, this guy is just dominating the competition over there, which, I mean, they compare it to, like, a quad A, you know, somewhere in between triple A and the MLB level, right?
Yeah.
For the MPB. I mean, it's so much different because it's like, it's hard to compare. It's easier to compare the Japanese league than the Korean league, like we had to do last year when what's his fucking name? Kim for the Padres came over and then completely sucked. So, yeah. I mean, like, he didn't, like, completely suck. He couldn't hit, but he obviously played, like, elite defense. But, I mean, it's so much different for guys like that. We'll just have to see. But Suzuki doesn't have a lot of time also to sign after the lockout.
I think he's going, like, I legitimately think the second the, like, I think within, like, 3 days of the lockout and of after the lockout ends, he's gonna go to Boston. Like, he really want, like, I forget the reliever that used to pitch for Boston, like,
2013. Oh, Uehara?
Yeah, they're close. Like, they're tight. Like, they're close. And they've had a lot of press conferences together about talking about the baseball. They talk about the Red Sox a lot. It's basically just implied that he's going to go there. So I don't think he's going to have a problem signing very quickly. And one thing that separates him from a lot of the guys like Setsugo and and Akiyama, who both of them have kind of been busts. They have a lot of hot, like swinging strike rate problems, like chase rate issues, where it's like that at the major league level is going to get worse because higher velocity and everything. Say Suzuki struck out 16.2% of the time last year, and he walks 16.4% of the time. He does well against high velocity whenever he's had this in the small sample size faced it. So again, small sample size, doesn't really chase ever. Crushes the ball, like absolutely demolishes the ball. Like I think a year from now, if Say Suzuki is a right fielder and he signs with a team, like I think we can look back and we're gonna say like Say Suzuki's a consensus top like 60-70 player in the sport. Like that's how high I'm on him. Especially the base, like the defense is gonna be good. The arm is really good. I think this is like a top 60-70 player potential here.
It's tough. It's like obviously really early for him. Because we don't know for sure, like, you know, how he's gonna adjust to major league competition because it's so much different. Like, yes, the NPB might be the best league outside of the major leagues in the entire world, but I mean that doesn't really mean that it's the same or that it's even comparable.
Right. This is where like the issue is of, you know, like how well will Say Suzuki how well will he translate? Now Steamer's really big on him. Like they have him at a 139 WRC plus. Zips, I think, had him at like a 860 something OPS. They didn't have his WRC plus when I checked. And ATC has him as a 120 WRC plus. So a lot of good numbers offensively there. I know he's in Japan, he had trouble. Like he would steal a lot of bases, but he would also get caught a lot. So you have to kind of cut down the aggression there. Wonder how that hurts his base running value. Strong arm, good speed, be able to play right field well. I just want to note that Jack stole my tweet. I'm very upset about that right now. I tweeted out the projection tweet, and then Jack stole it, like word for word, bar for bar.
From Canada.
If you're in Canada, and you know one MLB nerds up there, just make sure like you know he's just stuck up there for like months. Just don't let him out. Don't let him out of the country. Truckers, do your job. Don't let him out of that country. He stole my tweet, and I'm very mad about that. But yeah. But I wanted to address one thing with the right field, like the bottom of the list. Like I think once you get past like Tucker and Nimmo, even though Nimmo shouldn't be there, like it's up to discretion. Like we're talking like the same tier of like 2.5-3 WAR right fielders who like all of them are weird defensively or offensively. And so like we had a completely different 8, 9, and 10, I think.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest difference is like safety versus upside. Like obviously with like Teoscar Hernandez and Mike Conforto, you kind of know where you're getting. Like yeah. Obviously Conforto has his struggles on defense and he had a really bad year last year. And then Teoscar also struggles on defense. He had a really good year last year. But I with Suzuki, you just don't know. Like he could come over and he could be absolutely horrible, or he could come over and he could be one of the best players in the league. And I wouldn't really be surprised by either. I mean, maybe best player in the league is like a obviously stretch, but like he could be, I think he could be like a pretty easily a top.
He'd be a 5-win player pretty easily.
Like a top 10 right fielder next year. And I would not be surprised at all. I feel like he could even jump up to like Nimmo, Tucker level. I don't know about higher than that, but none of that would really surprise me is what I'm saying. So I just think we'll have to see.
Yeah. So I guess that's a lot of Say Suzuki talk, but
I mean, yeah, the rest of the list is kind of whatever. I had Judge below Betts, you had Judge above Betts. I feel like it's really not that big of a difference. They're kind of interchangeable, at least to me. I feel like that tier is, I think it's pretty obviously like Soto's the best and then Acuna second. And after that, Judge, Betts, Harper, I feel like you can kind of put in whatever order. I've seen some people argue that Tucker's better than some of those guys. such as Jack at MLB Nerds putting Tucker above Betts, which I think is a horrible take.
Yeah, I think Betts is underrated as hell sometimes. Like, yeah, I get.
No, I think Betts right now is one of the most underrated players in baseball. Yeah. Because this is a guy. I mean, we're talking about a generational talent. He's 29. He already has 44 career WAR. Yeah, I understand it. He had a relative down year last year. His worst year of his career last year. 131 WRC plus 3.9 WAR. Four win player, right field. I mean, he missed a bunch of games too, which I guess is starting to become a little bit of a concern, I guess. Not really.
Yeah, because he had 246 play appearances last year in a shortened season. 700
before that. And 600, yeah. 700, 700. Like, the guy doesn't get hurt. And he had a – but the only reason I say it's a little concerning is because he had a couple of injuries last year rather than just, like, one big one. But, I mean –
His sprint speed shot down a lot. Like, it went from, but I'm assuming that's because of the hip. Like, it's hard for me to say that Betts is going to stop being a generational defensive right fielder, which, like it's so, that's a lot of value we're talking about right there, like being generationally good defensively. And then on top of that, being a 130 WRC plus hitter and providing positive defense, base running value. Like, that's kind of a lock for a 5-6 win year. Harper's downside, really, and that's why I never can put him above Betts, is he can hit, he's a really good hitter, but one, you can't really say a guy's a safe 170 WRC plus guy unless you're talking like Trout or Soto. And even then, Soto I don't think has hit 170 yet, so you can't say he's a safe 170.
He has hit 170.
Has he hit? Oh, right. I'm 2020, right. I'm completely forgot about that season. But even then, Trout and Soto, that's basically it. You can say 170, they're going to get to 170. Harper's not sitting at 170 in terms of his true talent. He's probably going to sit more at 150, 160. Betts will sit at 140.
Which is still, like, 160 right. Is one of the best players in the league.
It just happens to be that, you know, Harper and Judge and – no, that's loud. And Betts happens to be just playing, like, the best – like, the most stacked position at the top in all of baseball. So maybe shortstop.
I mean, no, it's the most top-heavy position easily in the entire league.
I'd say shortstop has a case if with Tatis and who else? Correa, Franco, Turner, Seager. But I think after, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I think when you have Mookie Betts at 4 and Wander Franco at 4, you're talking about two completely different types of players.
I just want to point out that Wander Franco has a projected 1.1 WAR less than Mookie Betts. I just want to point that out.
Which is a lot.
No. Okay, Corey Seager has the same projected WAR as Mookie Betts. So, you know, shortstop, you know, just respect my projections. All right. No, I'm messing with you. But yeah, no, I think there's like the first position group where you and I like agree on a lot of things. Cause like this, we went picture perfect on the right field from like 7-1 with the exception of Judge and Betts. And that's like a minute, like a individual like, nitpicky thing. I don't care how you rank the two.
And then there's Jack, whose list is something else.
I wish he was here because we could just gang up on Jack, and we can't do that today. It's very sad.
But yeah,
one day
the guy decides to. I didn't even know he was going to Canada, but we got Canadian Jack.
You know what though? When he's while he's gone and stealing my tweets, we're in the lab.
What did he tweet?
He stole my Seiya Suzuki tweet. And then on my private account, I tweeted this picture of like it's like the guy with like the movie with the guy like the multiple personalities. It's like him smiling and then being angry. It's like Gio Urshela's steamer projections, where it's like a 98 WRC plus and a zipped projection. That's one's on 111 WRC plus. And he stole off a private account. Like, come on, man. Like have some shame. Come up with better tweets. My tweets are good. I get it. Make up your own. I'm not even a funny guy.
Yeah, we've known that for a while. So, I think that's basically it, right? I think we kind of agreed here. I don't know. I don't know where you think Michael from. Jack, go.
Podcast.
Yeah.
What up, boy? Are you muted?
Okay, well, I don't know exactly what to do with Conforto. I don't know where he's going to end up, and I think that could make a difference because the way he hits, but we'll see.
It's going to piss me off when, like, he signs for such a cheap contract and, like, say Suzuki goes to the Red Sox and the Yankees are like, oh, we were looking for a corner outfielder, but we couldn't find one. Like, yes, you could, you fucks. This happens every offseason. But, you know, Conforto's a White Sox. Like, I feel like Conforto's a White Sox. Like, that has to be a thing. Like, if the White Sox don't get Conforto, I'd be shocked. They need a right fielder.
I mean, I guess. I think he's a Philly.
Oh, I forgot about the Phillies. Yeah, they have no outfielders. I think Castellanos makes sense for them. You know why?
Why?
Because they are the type of team to pay for Castellanos and, like, be the team that gives him a shit ton of money.
And then he'll go off again.
No, he'll be bad. They'll trade him, and then he'll have, like, a 170 WRC plus somewhere else. Millie's a cursed sports city. I refuse to give them any credit for anything ever.
God damn it. These Japanese league players don't have headshot images.
Yes, they do. They not?
No.
Try Baseball Reference.
Yeah, but, like, I can't put that onto this.
Hold on.
Right, because it's not a PNG.
You can make it a PNG.
How?
Download that JPEG. Canva. Throw it in a random, like, small thing, and I'll send it to you.
All right, do it.
I'm not going to ask you what your email is, because whoever reads it's going to start sending emails to you. Or whoever...
You know my email. It should be there.
I actually don't know your email, unfortunately. Oh, wow. This is, like, so blurry. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to put a picture of him with a gray background behind it. And or I might just put, like, a picture. Might just put a picture of the Japanese flag.
Oh, I found it. I found a good headshot picture you could use. Is this better? Yeah, this is better. I'm going to just email this. Send your email in chat so I can just copy-paste it because I'm stupid. Okay, so right. So everyone in the audience, we are currently trying to figure out how to...
okay, well, anyways, I think this is basically it.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about. Like, the meetings are picking up a little bit. That's good to see. And they're going to be meeting every single day. That's good, I guess.
But, no, that's very good because it's about damn time.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I guess as in, like, we're not in the meetings. Like, it's not like we can go in there and, like, tell you what's going on.
Yeah, but it looks like the reports have been more positive than negative recently.
Oh, for sure.
Which is definitely good. Like, that's a good start. So...
Yeah, and ultimately, like, I hope things turn out well. Like, I really, really hope things turn out well for baseball, you know, obviously. But at the same time, like, I as much as I want baseball back, I want to make sure that when it does come back, like...
This is not a PNG, Ryan.
That's not a PNG. That is a PNG. That's literally says PNG. Untitled design, PNG.
Yeah, but it's not, like, it's not transparent.
Oh, okay, let me throw in the cutout. Hold on.
I don't know how to do that, so you
can do that. I can do that.
Okay, well, anyways, I mean, it looks like things are looking up, which is obviously good. Love to see it.
Yeah. Okay, I got the thing in the cutout finally. Okay.
I have this set to keep on top, but it's not keeping on top. Okay, well, anyways. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. Because you never know.
Okay, what do you think baseball... What day? I want you to give me a day. What day is baseball coming back?
You mean, like, what day is the lockout ending or what day
is the season starting? What day is the lockout ending?
March 14th.
Okay. I'm going to say February 27th.
Oh, you think it's this week?
Yeah, I think it's February 27th.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
That's soon. That's really soon.
I'm telling you, it's going to be 27th. So that means I'm going to be wrong, by the way.
I mean, I hope it's the 27th, but we'll have to see. What did I just do? This is still not transparent, is it? Check. Oh, no, it is. Good job. Good job. Okay, so.
All right, so I nailed that one. But I just want the audience to understand I'm a graphic artist genius. This is my graphic design is my passion. No, I'm joking. I hate graphic design. I'm terrible at it. All right. So basically what's going to happen is on the 27th, they're going to meet. They're going to be like, we're doing this. They're going to hear the podcast. And you're like, yep. We need to get it done by the 27th to validate. And then I get to clip this, tweet it, say I'm a genius. And if nothing happens, we'll forget this ever happened. I never said this. And if it happens on the 14th, you said the 14th or the 13th?
Yeah, I said the 14th.
If it happens on the 14th, then I will just get this podcast deleted, unfortunately. No, I'm joking.
Okay, well, that's not right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's such a stupid thing to say, like, guess the day that it ends. But
yes, no, guess the day that it ends. 27. It's going to be 27.
We'll have to see. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
See, because remember, MLB is so Jesse Rogers tweeted this. MLB is clear on one point. If a deal is not made by Monday, games will be canceled and will not be made up. The season will be less than 162 games and players will not be paid for a full season, no matter what. So that's why I say it happens on the 27. Like, I don't think players want to lose games. Players lose games, they're kind of screwed because they lose money.
I mean, yeah. Losing
money is bad.
There it is. I mean, yeah, but then they're going to have to settle, and I don't think they want to settle either.
Right. But they won't. Like, something will happen. Something good. I don't know, man. I fucking hate today. I fucking hate the owners, man. Like, they're just losers. Grade A losers, man.
I don't know. The players are fucking stupid. They're asking for $900,000 minimum salary. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen.
They should, but that's, you have to ask for it, and then you bid down.
I don't know. I feel like you're running out of time.
And look, the thing is with the players, right? Okay. I saw this tweet. Basically, in order, so your first 6 years, once you make the big, so your first 6 years, if you spend, you know, 5 years in the minors and your first year in the majors, you make on average $100,000. And that's if you make the big leagues. A lot of guys don't make the big leagues. So to get to 100,000 AAV over that 6 year stretch on it, so your average, you add up all your money, divide 100,000 a year, you have to get to the majors. You have to. If you don't, you're fucked. You don't get that money. And you will end up making like 30 grand like a year. So you got to raise that minimum so that number can be more like, you know, you make it to big leagues. Okay. So that's 200,000, 300,000, right? You know?
I guess.
Like you can't. How do I put this? You can't market a sport to athletes that you don't see your first six figure contract until like 5 or 6 years into your pro career. You can't market that.
Seven figure.
No, six figure. Because the minimum is 500,000.
Yeah, but 7 years. Oh, you mean into their like pro career?
Yeah. Pro career, not major league career.
You can very easily market that. That's what they've been doing for the last 100 years.
And it's a sport that isn't as popular as the NFL or the NBA for a reason. Like, dude,
that's not the reason.
Dude, it's I know that's not exactly the reason, but what I'm saying is, as an athlete,
that's like, not the reason at all.
But what I'm saying is, like, in terms of like what an athlete would want to play, why would any athlete willingly make the financial decision to go play the sport of baseball when you can go become a great and okay NFL player? An okay NFL player makes more money than an okay MLB player. That's true.
Yeah, but they're like completely different skill sets. It's not like, oh, just because you'd be good in the MLB would mean that you would.
No, but players who are good at both. There are players who are good at both, right? That's a lot of guys who are really good at sport, like in high school. Get all, like, a lot of guys who are really good at baseball in high school tend to be good at another sport, and they could be good enough to maybe get another offer, right? So you go into college and you're thinking to yourself, like, what sport am I going to commit to and be really, really, really good at? Is it going to be the sport that I maybe am lucky to see a six-figure contract, or is the sport in which I'm going to make millions of dollars to be a contract swap if I'm terrible?
But there's just
a shitty deal.
But there's just so many more people who make it. Like, there's so many more pro baseball players than there are pro football players and pro.
Like, no, you carry 52-man rosters in the NFL.
Yeah, and there's 32 one teams. And there's one NFL league. Whereas right. There's so many pro baseball leagues.
But none of them make you money. Like, let's just be real, man. You're not making money for now in the major leagues. You're making nothing. You're making close. You're making like internship money.
Because it's basic, but it's basically an internship for most of those guys have no chance at making the major leagues.
So do and you see, can I see the problem?
Why would any double A team want to pay their random ass like filler players anything? They're not generating any revenue. It doesn't make any sense for the owners to want to pay that money to them. The only reason that they're even there is to get the other players, the guys who actually like are prospects, to give them competition.
Well, here's what you're missing out. How are these guys supposed to get better if they don't have the resources to diet properly, work out properly, devote time to their craft?
They're not supposed to get better. They're not there to get better. That's not what the owners want.
Do you see the problem? Why would they not want them to get better? That's what you want.
No, but there's no reason to. Okay, it's just not worth the investment because how often is a 30-year-old in AA going to make an impact?
No, we're not talking about 30-year-olds in AA.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
No, those are like rare. I'm talking about like a fringe prospect in AA who's like a reliever or just a baseball player who maybe has a shot of becoming something at the major league level, something of value. Just needs to
and
get
all
to
those
be rostered.
Guys have enough money from their signing.
They
bonus?
Don't. They don't. No, they don't. You have
how,
to be really
okay. How often is it that a guy, and I'm not talking about exceptions. I'm talking about like the rule. No one drafted in the 18th round is making a major impact at the major league level.
Okay, I'm going to go through the top 30 projected players. I'm going to tell you their draft positions. I'm not going to pick guys who obviously weren't drafted and were selected in different methods, right? We're going to go and look at
So you're going to look at only the white guys.
How am I gonna do it for international free agents? Because they don't get drafted. They're like right. generational and superstar prospects. Even then, but a lot of those guys become busts.
And they still get a massive signing bonus.
But that's to go play and make nothing for like the signing bonus.
But that's the point.
Like the best of the best. But you have to like in the NBA, you don't have to be the best of the best to make a living.
You have to be the best of the best to even get drafted. And MLB, like every year, what 1,500 players get drafted in the NBA? 60 get drafted,
dude. What I'm asking for is I'm asking for players to have a because you deserve to have a livable wage, a minimum wage at least. They can't even get to minimum wage. How can you not pay your? They don't have a union. They're not even allowed to unionize. You can't. They don't have a union and they don't play for minimum wage, dude. They have a government. They went to the government to try to get an exception. For so that they didn't have to pay the minimum wage. That's
and
stupid. Why can't they get paid minimum wage? Why?
Because they don't like every
yes,
other
they do
minimum
generate,
wage.
They do generate that value.
Double
you know
A
hard
players,
it is to not generate minimum wage value.
Double A players are not generating minimum wage value.
It's hard.
Where is double A baseball making money?
Because dude, okay.
No
I
one
want,
goes
want,
to those games. And even the ones who do tickets to double A games are like $3.
Okay, let me pick a random Cubs prospect. So this is how value works this is how you could kind of get a decent gauge of value, right? For context, do you know who this is just my last name. Do you know who Jeremiah Estrada is?
No.
Okay. Jeremiah Estrada's in the Cubs farm system. 23 innings last year out of the bullpen. 1.57 ERA.
Great.
In probably going to double A, I believe. No, A ball. His value is 0.2 million. So $200,000 in terms of his trade value. If you trade him for $200,000, that he's worth around, not getting paid close to $200,000. He's worth that money on the market based on trade value. He's worth $200,000. Is he getting $200,000? No.
That's not what that means, though.
But that's his, his value in terms of what a team would have to realistic, like what a team would, if you were to sign him on the open market, what would he get? What would he be worth to a team? He should get $200,000, but these guys don't get that money. They get nothing, nothing, literally nothing. Dude, you mean to tell me
And Jeremiah Estrada, worth $200,000, got a signing bonus of $1 million for being a sixth round pick. So what's your point here? Like, they're getting
okay. How many years
he got paid? Five times. That was his first year in the majors.
So that's a signing bonus. Okay,
right.
So 3 years down there, right? 3 years. So he's probably made like $1,100,000, right? So
it's not even
3 years. It's since 2017. That $1 million, trying to stretch it 5 years. Dollars over 5 years.
He's played 18 games.
It doesn't matter. My point is, he's still a valuable prospect in that system because one, he has really good fastball, really good change. Like, he can be a good reliever at the major league level. That is true. He can still be a good reliever at the major league level. The
and only then way it happens paid, though, he'll get paid accordingly once he's that good reliever at that major league level.
No, that doesn't make sense though, because he can't. How is he supposed to get better without the financial asset? He doesn't have any of the financial assets to go out and improve himself.
He has $1 million.
Had $1 million that has now been, dude, that's $166,000 a year, not including taxes. And that's if over those 6 years, he hasn't spent a dime of it.
Okay.
So that's a sixth round pick. After that, do you think signing bonus is $1 million after that?
After what? After the sixth round?
Yeah. It's still a million, probably a little less, right? Maybe $900,000 to $800,000, right?
I mean, I have no idea how much a seventh round pick is making in a signing bonus, but that's not really the point. We're talking about specific players right now. I'm talking about in the grand scheme of things, there's no reason that an owner would pay this guy. Like, I don't know what the players are.
Also, there's nobody got $1 million because the slot value in round six nowadays is in the hundred thousands.
I'm literally reading on Google that he got $1 million.
What the heck? So they, hold on.
Because they gave him $1 million so that he wouldn't go to UCLA.
Oh, that makes sense. He was a high schooler. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But even, so that's to get him to go. So that's the enticement. So like average guys don't get that. I don't know how I managed to land on a guy who got $1 million. It's pretty crazy. But these slot values after the second round basically drop below $1 million. And then you're in the minor league, say 5 years. That means hopefully you're lucky enough to have been picked in like the third round at minimum. You get picked in the fourth, you're dropping to the point in which you're going to get under $100,000 a year to play professional baseball. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of like, oh, why would owners pay more when they could pay less? Well, you know, at least give the minimum wage. But give the minimum wage. The owners have a shit ton of money. It costs them nothing. To them, it's nothing.
Maybe it's really to them nothing. It's nothing, but nothing adds up. You pay every single player in your minor league system that's
like minimum wage.
150 players.
Yeah. They don't own a baseball team. Don't own a baseball team. If you can't pay
but the that's, minimum that's wage, not, don't that own doesn't make any sense. Why yes, would it you does. Ever, no, it doesn't. Because why would you sell a baseball team if it's profitable as James, it is right question. Now? Why would you change it to make it less profitable?
I have a question, James. Small business owner, can they say I'm opening a company, hiring these workers, I'm not paying them a minimum wage? Can they do that?
No. But
why are we allowing major league owners to do it? Why is it okay? What makes it okay?
The workers. First of all, they don't have a union, so they
These are the problems.
So the owners can do what they want because
problem.
Because I mean, maybe that's a problem. Then unionize, like,
but they can't. That's the problem.
Don't sign contracts that say you can't unionize. That's on you. Like, if you're signing a contract that you don't want to sign or you don't,
no, but they don't get to sign that contract.
They do. They sign the contract. They put their name in a signature.
Right. Okay. Contract. But they don't get to. They're not at these union owner meetings to like. They don't get a like. It's not like these minor leagues. Like, guys, let's just not unionize. It's like, here's this contract. Cool. By the way, you can't unionize. Okay. Like, there's nothing else you can do. What are you going to do about it? Like, decide I'm never going to play professional baseball until we all unionize? Like, that's not going to happen. You literally don't even make any money in the first place.
And I understand where people are coming from when they say, like, oh, owners should be paying for – I think it's – these minor league teams should have housing. That's, like, bare minimum stuff here. Like, if you're gonna play, you should be housed, like, and you should be fed. But these are, like, simple things. But once you get to, like, how much do you think – what is minimum wage for these guys? Because they're only really working 2 hours a day for 5 months of the year. Are you paying them to practice?
Yeah, like, that's labor.
That's labor.
That's practice. But anything you require them to do, they should be paid minimum wage for.
But – nothing's really required. Like, they're choosing this job. They're choosing this profession.
That's the same thing that works in job. Like, you don't, no one's going to put a gun to your head and tell you to go to work. You just get fired.
Yeah. And
that's what happens. So then why can't they get minimum wage? If every other form of labor requires you to be paid minimum wage, why can't they be paid minimum wage? The answer is the owners are cheap. They don't allow minor league players. All the reasons stem back to owners are cheap. Owners don't let them
eat. Of course they're owners cheap. Owners are bitch. Everyone they're losers. Should be.
Rich,
losers. Rich people get richer by being cheap.
Yes, I get that. But they're cheap to the point in which
every rich person ever has exploited labor.
You're not paying minimum wage.
You don't get rich by not exploiting labor.
I get that. But do you not? We're talking about like a problem now. Like, this is a problem. Right. Like you can't have a sport in which systematically you have a system in which owners don't even pay guys minimum wage. You can't do that. Like these guys are people, human beings, but people who are living below the poverty line.
They get paid so much up front. The ones who are there as prospects. Now, the ones who are there as 30-year-old AA players, like that's on them. Like, do you want those guys, like even minimum wage.
Yes, for them, anyone that works for you.
No, I understand that.
Like even the 75-year-old cashier should get minimum wage.
That's not a living wage for these guys because they're only working like what 5 or 6 months, and so you're saying anything required. Okay, so and then obviously this depends on the state. Like if you're playing in South Carolina, you're gonna make South Carolina minimum wage or some shit like that. But. If you are paying these guys 5 months of the year to work, what, seven, I mean, I don't know, how much do minor leaguers work, like, outside of games? How much are minor leaguers practicing? I have no idea.
You probably pay them based on their, like, this, whenever they have to show up to see them. So let's see, show up at one. Maybe you don't go by hour. Maybe you set a minimum game rate and, like, you have to. I don't want baseball settling that. I want,
these guys are making a salary. Like, people on minimum wage jobs don't make a salary. They get paid by the hour.
Right.
Like, these are salaried workers. It's a lot different.
But, like, you get what I'm saying, what I mean? Like just something that isn't. Like $8,000 over 6 months is absurdly low. Like that's ridiculously low. You cannot, there's no one who can feasibly live off that. You'd have to have like, and then you're traveling constantly as well. So that's a big expense. If you want to go practice, like getting, if you want to, like, you know,
but
they, like,
but
getting,
it's not like these minor league teams aren't paying for that travel.
Like, no, but I'm just saying travel, like you still have to pay, like when you travel, you still want to like, you know, get some, you gotta get food. You gotta either cook or get food. They don't pay for all your food. That's not they give you terrible food. You know, you want to like, especially if you're a guy who's like how do you, you know, I don't know if I think I've discussed this before, but like you'll draft guys to like have a good hit tool, develop their power. How are you supposed to bulk when you're eating like shitty food and you're trying to bulk and put on, you're trying to have, make sure you hit certain nutrient goals. You can't do it.
You do it with that $1 million signing bonus that you get for being drafted in the sixth round, like Jeremiah.
No, yeah, but that's if like you're like a really good high school, like you fell there because people thought you may have not signed, but the Cubs entice you because they paid on their slot value for some other guys.
And look,
but if you're a guy like a sixth round pick,
six years later, where did that $1 million go? They have a guy who's 23 years old in single A.
And who's probably gonna rise up pretty quickly this year because he pitched really well this year. And you know
watch this. We'll listen back to this in at the end of the season and Jeremiah Estrada's in the major leagues. But that's like, okay, you picked a really, really random case. I know it happens a lot where guys get drafted later because teams don't think they're going to sign and they sign for more. But
okay, let me go to the Yankees. Let me pick a random Yankee. Who the fuck is Barclay? We're going to pick Barclay or Beltre, this Beltre guy. No, Barclay. We're going to pick Barclay. Edgar Barclay, please tell me you were, yes, you were drafted. 15th round. Yes. This is perfect. This is perfect, my what I'm trying to say. He was given a, where the fuck is this guy? Edgar, $125,000 signing bonus worth 0.6 million. So $600,000. He should be paid a lot more than whatever the hell he got.
And most, he's not 15, some random. Most 15th round picks don't play any professional baseball.
And by the way, Edgar Barclay rose up. So he's 23 right now. Pitched in A-ball last year, then and 2.2 ERA. Rose up from A-ball to a high A, high ERA, but really high strikeout rates as a reliever. Started for a little bit. They're probably gonna make him a full-time reliever. He didn't do too well as a starter. Yeah, 6 ERA as a starter. Yeah, and then he had a really rough outing as a starter, and then you know sub 3 ERA as a reliever. So they're probably gonna make him a reliever. He's getting paid nothing. Still has a shot to make the majors. Probably wants to put on maybe some pounds or maybe lose some pounds. I don't know what he wants to do. How is he supposed to feed himself properly or train? With what money?
Of course. Obviously, when you hear most people talking about it, especially like in, you know, like podcasts like these or like media, stuff like that, everyone is so pro player. And obviously, in a perfect world, the players are paid millions of dollars to go out there and play double A ball. But from the owner's perspective, why would they ever do that? It's just not. And especially since they can get away with it and they keep getting away with it, maybe they should be paying these guys minimum wage. And maybe it's like technically not legal, but it is because it's like,
it's legal, but it's bullshit that it's legal. That's what I'm going to say.
It's legal, and so they're going to keep doing it. But what are the players going to do about it? They can't do anything about it because now the owners have all the leverage. I know everyone's like, oh, the players, like, they like, you know, this happened last offseason or a couple years, I mean, the 2020 season when it got shortened, where everyone's like, oh, but the players, like, if the season doesn't happen, the owners win because they're still like, they don't have to pay the players and the players have to get paid. Like the owners have so much more money that like they can,
and they have outside sources. Like, dude, John J. Fisher, the A's owner, is a fucking billionaire in the base.
They're all billionaires.
Yeah. The dude makes insane money, but it's not because of the A's. Cause he goes and he has like in a bunch of other, he's fine. He doesn't need the A's.
Exactly. And so like the players have no leverage here. They're gonna have to sign whatever deal the owners want them to at this point. Like they can keep getting the little things they want, like the universal DH, good for them. Like that's really like the owners didn't want to do that. I don't know why they didn't want to do that, but
that's just racist.
But like, cool, you have universal DH now, but what does that mean? Like that's the thing that they compromised on, but they don't get the other things that matter more, like getting fucking paid. But they're gonna have to sign a deal. So what are you gonna do about it? And
you know, wait, go ahead.
And if they delay the season, like that sucks for the fans and it sucks for the players, but the owners don't care.
I'm gonna go over there and make them sign a good deal. Don't worry, I'll handle this. I'm a great negotiator. Do you know that? Great. Like, watch this. James, you will be less mean to me. You'll no longer bully me and make fun of me ever.
Never.
Any reward, I'll give you like $5. I'll like Venmo you $5.
I mean, you can Venmo me as much money as you want, but I don't know about all that.
All right, never mind. Okay, not a good negotiator. But no, I agree with you on the whole, like, I mean, owners, they just don't have to do shit. And players kind of have, this is their whole life.
Like for the owners, having no season is not nearly as detrimental as it is for having no. The fuck?
The
players.
There's going to be a time in which, like, when Passan tweets the baseball's back tweet, like, that tweet's going to go nuclear. I don't think there's going to be a more liked tweet in the history of ever.
Well, there's definitely going to be more liked tweets in the history
of ever. I think it's going to be Passan's most liked tweet, I think, or interacted with tweet. And then...
I don't know.
Do you send it?
Yeah, because I had first time it said center field.
Ah, you're welcome for that PNG, by the way. Just that guy.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, obviously, I hope we have a season, and so does everyone else. But
yeah,
like everything I've ever seen on the internet is like, oh, the players. But why would the owners ever agree to anything that helps the players? They don't need to. They have no reason to. The players have no leverage.
I'm hoping that
we and just, like all like, those all those fucking threads from those career minor leaguers, like I was a minor leaguer for 10 years. I think this, like, cool. The owners don't care.
I think it's just more for like the for fans to understand because we're not like we don't understand. We really don't know what's going on in those negotiations.
Yeah, obviously, but we'll have to see. All right, so I think that'll do it for episode 54.
Jeremiah Estrada, if you're listening to this, you will make it to the major leagues. I believe in you. Please do it. I need to push some narratives. Go win a World Series with the Cubs in like 5 years.
All right, thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've made it this far listening to Ryan, I don't know how you've done it, but we'll see you next time in episode 55, and we don't outro the Wiggies.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.